This is the Bike Tourist Podcast, show number 21. My name is Gabriel. Welcome, especially if you are new to this podcast. This show is brought to you in part by Adventure Cycling, the largest bicycle touring organization in North America. Visit them at adventurecycling.org. Acoma Business Enterprises, bringing you the magic and history of Sky City and Sky City Cultural Center. For more information, dial 1-800-747-0281. DC International. And listeners like you, thank you. In this edition of the podcast, we will be talking about the day number 4 of the Tour of the Nations and the road from the ice caves to SUNY. So, grab a chair and enjoy this podcast.
Bike Tourist Podcast.
August 8, 2007. The road to SUNY. The day started out great. Birds singing greeted me as I got out of my tent. As I stand up, while taking down the tent, a sharp pain in my knee reminded me of yesterday's climb. After breakfast, Matt O'Mara, the tour executive director, offered to take care of the articles I had acquired at the Ice Cave gift shop yesterday. This was especially neat, because there were very delicate items on these bags. The gift shop offers a variety of things that range from Native American children toys to caps to jewelry, geos and many other things. I got a dream catcher and a handmade turtle for my kids, a Native American music CD for my sister, some jewelry and an ice cape cap and decorative geodes for my wife. After that, I walked back to the park entrance. It was a dirt trail, so I didn't want to tax my knee so early in the morning. Fortunately for me and the rest of the riders, things will be mostly downhill today, which is a relief. Today we will ride approximately 50.4 miles along Route 53 and will descend 1,566 feet. Judging by the elevation profile included in our map booklet, the road will have some minor climbs, but my knee will have time to rest. Our rest stop will be at the Inscription Rock and Trading and Coffee Company, Stagecoach Cafe, and SUNY Window Rock. We have a lot to see today. We will go to El Morro National Monument, the Wild Spirit Wolf Sanctuary, and SUNY Pueblo itself. Along the way, beautiful forest landscape to start the day. So, off we go. Just riding out of the ice caves area, the Continental Divide sign commanded an immediate stop for the mandatory picture. It is like an I was there kind of thing. After taking turns for our pictures and some friendly chat, we set off. I was determined to finish today's ride. I had a plan B in case my knee gave up. Single leg propulsion. This is a trick I learned from a recumbent bicycle rider from the Action Bend forum at Yahoo. The idea is to engage one foot to start propulsion and once up to safe speed, stop pedaling and engage the other foot. I was planning not only to do that, but also to continue on that foot with the occasional help from my less than optimal leg. I was checking why this knee problem decided to show up. I checked everything in the bike and there it hit me. Even if I was riding a 22-inch bike frame, the top tube was not long enough to achieve knee-neutral position. For starters, knee-neutral position is the adjustment that you make to the saddle so when you place the crank arm in the horizontal position with your feet engaged in the pedals, the front of your kneecap is aligned with the pedal spindle. Why is this so important? Well, these adjustments have uses to enhance certain types of particular riding. Putting your knee in the central position is a good neutral position for almost every kind of riding because it delivers optimal power without forcing your knees too much. It is like the proverbial break-even point. A position behind the spindle puts more power to the rider's disposal at the expense of speed. This could be useful on climbs. This is why crank-forward bicycles climb so well. The last position, the knee in front of the spindle, allows the rider to exert extreme power to the pedals, gaining on speed. Think of it like a hot rod adjustment. But this comes to a price. Your knees. This position is only for very strong knee riders on things like time trials. Guess what? I was riding all this time knee front of the spindle. If I were using a light road bike, maybe I could get away with it. But I was riding a heavy mountain bike with panniers, carrying my camera, recorder, PDA, etc. The top tube of the bike was just too short for my body. But this was the only alternative I had from the good people at Bikecoop in Albuquerque on such short notice. They are not used to big riders like me. I also noticed another problem. I became aware that the normal hand numbness that you get after long hours of riding was taking longer to subside. The problem was that the bar was too low. My bike back home, although the frame is a bit small, has an extra long top tube that allows me to use any knee position adjustment. Plus, I make the use as a stem riser, which is complemented with a long stem to correct for the rising angle. It is a perfect fit. It also has grip shifters. This bike has trigger shifters and it's growingly harder for me to activate them. Aware of the problems, I went on with the adventure. I mention all this because this is important information for people to use to avoid potential problems. Well, back to the ride. The road was gentle downhill with a twist, headwind. This means active pedaling. The scenery was a bit different than the previous days. The morning was beautiful and we were blessed by great weather. The number of flat tires surprised me this precise day. Almost everyone had flats at some point of the journey. Greg from Bikecoop put slime inner tubes in my bike, so I did not experience flats or pressure drops at this, and this was good. Some 14 miles later, I reached for the first rest stop at the Inscription Rock Trading and Cafe. As always, these rest stops had plenty of fruit, electrolytes, and energy bars. But it was inside the trading post that the good part of this rest stop revealed itself to us. The place is gorgeous and the smell of great coffee filled the air. They had some treat for us, like fresh fruit and Native American photos to take as souvenirs. But that was not all. They have a nice store with many beautiful things. I got some more jewelry for my wife and some things for the kids. I was finally got by the coffee scent and decided to try it out. One word about coffee. In Puerto Rico, my homeland, we drink the coffee very strong, in very small mugs, because of the concentration. This makes us innocently classify most coffee served in many parts of the United States as tea. In some places, the coffee content is so small that you can see the bottom of a full mug. I am happy to report that this is coffee, and a good one, I might add. Combined with the pastries they have, this is a place to linger. The staff was so friendly and attentive that we felt at home. We sat for a while at the porch and engaged in great conversation while the morning breeze soothed us. But times wait for no one, and we had to leave. We say goodbye to the staff, and we started our ride again. Whenever I come back to New Mexico, I will make sure I will pay a visit again. For you listeners who would want to ride these roads, know that there is Cimarron, Rose, Bed and Breakfast a few miles after the Continental Divide riding westward. So if you are not in a mood of camping at the Ice Cave, this is an alternative. After a short stretch, we reach El Morro National Monument. It is also called Inscription Rock, since 400 years ago, more than 2,000 petroglyphs, Spanish and English carvings on the rock. Why was this place so popular among our ancestors? The reason is simple. It was because it has a very good water hole. So all the Spanish, Pueblo, and American people that traveled through this area usually made a stop at this place and left their "I was there" carved right in the rock. El Morro also have, at the top of the mesa, the ruin of the Atsina Pueblo, who lived here between 1275 and 1350 after Divinity. The view of the mesa from the main road is impressive. As I was riding in, I noticed that they have a camping area, which is good news if you would like to spend some time exploring the surroundings. From May to October, the camping fee is only $5, just for the water. When the climate goes below freezing, they shut off the water supply and the camping is free. They do not accept reservation and it is in the first-come, first-served basis. They have 9 sites for camping. Also, if you are planning to do a campfire, you have to bring your wood because wood collecting is forbidden in the area. I arrived to the information center. All the fees has been covered by the tour organizers. The admittance is just $3 and kids under 16 are free. After getting our reading materials from the friendly park people, I made my way to the ruins. Do you remember that we were going to see the wolf sanctuary after El Morro visit? Well, they were there. It was a great experience to play with the wolves. Impressive animals. The sanctuary representative told us that they take care of orphan wolves. I take some pictures that are available at the album. After spending some time with the wolves, I needed to decide which way to go. My knee was not any better, so I decided to go to the ruins at the mesa. I will save the inscription for my next visit. Going up to the mesa, I could not help but to think of my family and how much I wanted them to be with me. This place is so peaceful and beautiful that your senses get just overloaded. I did several stops along the way just to admire my surroundings. This was completely different from the other days of the ride. Finally, I reached to the top of the mesa and the ruins. Impressive is the word I have to use to describe what I saw. An ancient kiva, which is the ceremonial chamber for the Pueblo people, and in all the places we have gone so far, Acoma and Laguna and Isleta Pueblos, they told us that this is off limits for people who are not tribal people. But here in the ruins, there is an ancient kiva, you know, and it is there for you to appreciate. You know, all this time I was curious about what was inside a kiva, what would it feel to see it up close. And here at the ruins, we had this opportunity. We could not get inside, you know, because it is a protected area, it's many thousand years old, and we had to protect that. I went down from the ruins after a while. We still have some pedaling to do. I rode out of El Morro with memories to last for a lifetime. After some miles of riding, we came across one of the various trading posts along Route 53. I stopped to get some batteries for my camera and got something to eat. The stagecoach rest and lunch area is several miles away, but I decided to have my lunch here. I have some phone calls to do and to my folks and family, so I did. I got back on the road, and several miles later, with the never-ending headwind, I reached the Stagecoach Cafe. I wish I hadn't had lunch earlier in the day, because the food selection was great and the place was very alive with cyclists from the tour. I stayed there for a while and then got back on the road. From time to time, the friendly policemen that had been taking care of us during all the trip lined their patrol car or motorcycle and talked with me while I pedaled to the SUNY. These are very nice people. After some time, my knees started to hurt. Some of the lady riders gave me some ibuprofen and another gave me a knee supporter. Great people. I will never forget their kindness to me. I reached to the last rest stop before SUNY Pueblo. My knee was shot, so I switched to Plan B, single leg propulsion. I have never done anything like that, and I don't know if I can pull this off. But I was determined to finish, so I pushed on. And before I knew it, I was pulling over to SUNY camp. The SUNY people received us with open arms. The tribal council members greeted us and told us about SUNY's history. The SUNY dancers performed their traditional dances for our delight, and later on, we enjoyed the traditional food, which was so good I still remember it. Tonight we had options to pitch the tent or sleep indoors. I wanted to take care of my knee, but of my hands also, which went numb and were not coming back, so I opted for sleeping indoors. Again, my fellow riders came with all sorts of creams for my sore knee, advice, and much care. Bicycle tourists are a special brand of people, and I am happy to have chosen a hobby shared by so many good people. On the next intershow, we will cover the SUNY reception, dances, interview with the council members, and many other good things. Remember to visit the page biketourist.podomatic.com and send your comments. Remember that the email is biketouristpodcast@yahoo.com. Remember, don't leave any spaces between biketourist and podcast. biketouristpodcast@yahoo.com. Remember that you can subscribe with iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Look at the right bottom side of the page for more information. Remember that we have put a slideshow video on YouTube. You can watch it directly on the page. It is a bird's eye view of the tour, but it will transmit you the tour experience through the eye of the camera. So, this is all for today. Until next time, this is the Bike Tourist Podcast.